You know, there are a lot of different terms that get thrown around when we talk about retirement. There's different kinds of funds. There's lots of letters and numbers that show up, like IRA and 401k and 403b. And I think it can get fairly confusing just to know what's being talked about, let alone figuring out what's best for you and your circumstances. Frank Armstrong is a certified financial planner, one of our regular guests. He's founder and president of Investor Solutions, Inc. He's the author of The Informed Investor and co-author of Save Your Retirement. Always appreciate when he's able to spend time with us. And Frank, welcome back to the show.
It's always a pleasure to be with you and your listeners, Ray.
I really appreciate it. I wanted to talk with you about some of the common retirement savings vehicles and really what they are. And because I think a lot of people, you know, they hear these and not everybody knows really what is being talked about. So IRAs are individual retirement accounts. And we have two types.
They're totally self-directed, and they may be an extraordinarily effective and inexpensive way for your listeners to save for retirement. You can go simply to any of the brokerage houses or somebody like Schwab or TD Ameritrade, open an account, and you have the entire world's investment opportunities to choose from there. Currently, you can contribute and possibly deduct up to $5,500 a year into an IRA. And I would suggest that if American families did that, we'd have much less of a retirement stress problem than we have today. Because that over time, that adds up into a tremendous pile of money.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, there are two types of IRAs that you can choose from. One of them is deductible today against your ordinary income, but taxable, fully taxable, when you take the money out later after retirement. The Roth IRA doesn't offer a deduction today, but when you take money out, presuming you've held it in the account for 5 years and you're 59 and a half, totally tax-free forever, and that's a pretty nice benefit.
That's a huge benefit. It's unfortunate that more people don't take advantage of it, to be honest.
Well, yeah, it is. And, you know, there's a backdoor way to get money into a Roth IRA that many people should consider. Bill Gates himself wouldn't be limited to have a traditional IRA that's not deductible. He can make that contribution. And then, almost instantaneously, you can roll it over into a Roth IRA. And many people aren't taking advantage of that that we should, because they say to themselves, oh, I can't deduct the IRA, and so I won't do it. But this gives them an opportunity to do a Roth no matter what their income limits are.
Talking today with Frank Armstrong, who is the president and founder of Investor Solutions, Inc., talking with us from Florida, where his place of work is and his home is, and they've had a lot of flooding there, and so his landlines are down, and he's with us by his cell phone. So sometimes it may not sound quite as perfect as it normally does when he's on the air. He's got a great voice, and we're assuming and hoping that that'll carry the day for us as we visit with him. You may join in, by the way, with your own questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Certainly love to hear from you. Pensions these days, there used to be lots of pensions out there, not as many as maybe there were 25 years ago.
No, you know, the days when my father anticipated working for a company for 30 years, having a gold watch, and then a lifetime income that he could never outlive and never be concerned about. And those days are just gone forever. They've been replaced by the 401k or 403b system, where the company may make a contribution for you. In addition to that, you make a contribution to fund your retirement. And across the board, it's not a particularly satisfying solution to the retirement problem because it depends on individual action and understanding. And a lot of people don't quite get around to it. It's kind of like planning, you know, as much fun as for many people as doing their income tax, except there's no deadline. So it gets put off and put off and put off.
Yeah. And the other one I wanted to mention, we've talked about SEPs, or Simplified Employee Pension Plans. What are those about?
Well, those employee plans adapted. There's a whole variety of pension instruments that people can choose from. And one possible way is this Simplified Employee Plan. There's also you know, individual IRAs, individual 401ks. Rather than get bogged down too much in what these various plans are, because they're all common factors, the overriding principle is you got to start to save early, save enough, invest correctly, and control your costs and your taxes along the way. Whether you do it in just a regular brokerage account or through one of these tax-preferred instruments, the whole problem, we have a savings problem. We have it close to net zero savings as a population, and that's not going to turn out well for people's retirements.
No.
But there are an entire – there's a whole library different approaches you could take to solving the retirement plan problem, and one of them is right for almost everybody.
John in Oshkosh has a question for you. John, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've got a question for your guest. After an employer's plan is, you've taken advantage of an employer's plan and you're maxed out there, and 52 years old, at what point does an annuity make sense if I have some funds laying around that are uninvested right now? And also, in addition to making sense with an annuity, what kind of fees are average that you can expect from a company that's managing that annuity for you?
I'm never in favor of annuities. There's a number of other ways you can save for retirement, beginning with if you're married, your spouse can have an IRA, whether she works or not. You can do this non-deductible IRA, and the cost will be dramatically lower, and your opportunity to use the money later will be dramatically higher by maintaining that control. When you buy an annuity from an insurance company, you're giving them your principal, and in theory, someday you're going to get a lifetime stream of income. But that income stops when you die. So if you don't care about anybody else, then your thought is, I want to make some income during my lifetime, maybe my wife's. Then an annuity still has some problems, but it might be a rational solution. However, if you look at this for if you care at all about anybody else after your death, an annuity is guaranteed to cut them off. And there's all kinds of variations of it, but at the end, the insurance companies are taking a pretty fair slice of your total return for providing this lifetime income guarantee. And I personally think there are much better ways to fund that.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. We're talking today with Frank Armstrong, certified financial planner, founder and president of Investor Solutions, Inc. Great to have him along. We had a Facebook comment from a listener who had this comment about maxing out your Roth IRA. If you can afford it, put in extra money. Take time once a year to go over the types of mutual funds or other investments to see if they're still into your investment plan. And a favorite for Bill, who sent this, dividend reinvestment plans. Dividend reinvestment plans, or you call them DRIPs, are stocks that take their dividends and use that to buy more stock. when these stocks are bought in monthly investments, along with the reinvesting, your money builds quickly. That's his plan, plus the little bit of land that I quickly paid off. So what do you think of that approach, Frank?
I was with him through points one and two, but the DRIP program is not something that I can endorse. You're not enough diversified, and you can do dividend reinvestment with mutual funds or ETFs and get a global diversification for almost no cost that way. I don't think that you can solve the investment problem very effectively by using individual stocks, whether or not you're using the dividends to reinvest in them.
Yeah. What about this whole business of property, owning property? Is that kind of like a saving for retirement?
Well, it can be, and there's various ways to own it. My preferred way to own it would be through an index fund that buys real estate investment trusts, because that way you've got thousands of properties across the country, and you don't have a liquidity problem. You can sell at any moment you like. You always know what it's worth because it's priced in the market every day, and it's much more convenient. The last thing I particularly want to do is be a landlord. That's time sink, and most people aren't nearly as good at it as they think they are.
That's a very good point. We're talking about the ABCs of retirement planning with Frank Armstrong, and Frank's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. He is the certified financial planner, of course, and founder and president of Investor Solutions, Inc., the author of The Informed Investor, co-author of Save Your Retirement. Join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. And stay with us. We'll be back with Frank Armstrong right after the news. I think many people look forward to the day that they can finish their working life and settle into retirement. That dream might include a little fishing or gardening or reading or maybe volunteering, maybe spending time with the grandkids. In any case, all of us want to be sure to have the funds to do what we want to do when we want in our later years. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Frank Armstrong, one of our regular guests, a certified financial planner, founder and president of Investor Solutions, Inc. He's the author of The Informed Investor and co-author of Save Your Retirement. With us today from where his home and his place of work is in Florida, which has had some serious flooding. So the landlines have been down, and he is with us on his cell phone today. And Frank, thanks a lot for taking time to be with us.
Well, it's always a pleasure.
Appreciate it very much. We have questions and comments from our listeners. If you have a question, do you feel confident with your retirement saving plan? I think if not, Frank's happy to help. Maybe you have a plan to save for retirement. What are you doing to follow it? What worries do you have? Again, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. Many of us at least have retirement funds that may be in the form of say an IRA or an employee pension plan of some sort, but if there's a tax deferred annuity, is it mandatory? There's a mandatory withdrawal time, and at what age is that? Do you know, Frank?
The tax deferred annuity is something that pinned onto 403B plans, and in fact, in a 403B plan, there's a requirement to buy a tax-deferred annuity in it necessarily. But I believe the mandatory retirement age is significantly later than a pension plan. I think it's in the 80 some years old before you have to take it out. I don't think that's That's not enough of an advantage to tilt the scales, in my opinion, to make me favor an annuity over another type of investment vehicle.
Okay. Julia in Duluth, Minnesota has a question for you. Hi, Julie.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
I'm wondering if by law or if the law goes by state, because I live in Minnesota, is a defined benefit plan administrator or planner associated with it, are they required to release to you the cost of them or what they make on their earned income on handling a defined benefit package that's through an employer?
I don't believe defined benefit plans are. A fiduciary by a defined benefit plan was recently affirmed by the Supreme Court and damages awarded. But the disclosure that applies to 401ks doesn't apply, in my knowledge, to a defined benefit plan because the implications to the participant are somewhat less. No matter what the employer makes on the underlying fund, he's still got to put in enough to fund the benefit down the road.
Right.
So it's not coming out of your pocket, it's coming out of his.
If the defined benefit plan then is somehow tied to the 401k, is that possible for them to do that?
The defined benefit plan stands on its own in terms of compliance issues with disclosure. The 401k portion requires the disclosure. We just recently had to go through that with all of our clients and all of our participants, and as a result of the new regs, which I think are extraordinarily beneficial after people begin to realize how much they're paying for it, they'll demand lower cost options. But the defined benefit plans are not subject to to my knowledge.
Okay. Thanks, Julia. Nick in Racine. Hi to you. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry and Frank. My question has to do with duration of my bond portfolio. We've got a portfolio that's about 70% bonds, 30% stocks, because we're up in years. And this last year, I had to take my RMD, and since most of my bonds are in midterm or intermediate term TIPS and intermediate term bond index, I was counting on taking money out of those areas for my RMD, but I had to take it out of stocks because the bonds are down. I didn't want to sell it while it was low. Now that we've returned, we came up a little bit in the bond values on the intermediates, is this a time to change some of my holdings to shorter terms? I know in your book you recommend the short-term federal index fund as a bond holding.
I recommend short-duration bonds at all times, but yeah. If you've gotten some relief from the bounce, or that might be a good time. It's always a good time to go shorter duration, in my humble opinion. We saw pretty bad losses as a result of very small increases in interest rates. And someday, the global central banks are going to stop pumping money into the world economy and stop supporting these very low interest rates. And when that happens, people who have longer duration bonds are going to have a significant loss in capital. Ain't going to be pretty, and you don't want to be there. So we would think that you would do well to have your duration, your average duration of your bonds, somewhat in the 3 to 0 range.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, we're about 5 right now.
Yeah, you're not going to earn a lot of money right now because interest rates are perilously close to zero. Almost indistinguishable from zero, but you're not going to stand the very large chance of capital loss.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I noticed that you recommend the short-term federal, and you don't say much about the short-term treasury. Is there a little bit of a boost because it's...
No, I don't think I ever said short-term federal. I do believe in high-quality bonds, whether they're government, or very high quality corporate bonds.
Okay. But I don't think I ever confined myself to saying federal.
Oh, all okay. right.
All right. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate the call. Joe in Baraboo has a question for you. Joe, hello. Joe, are you there?
Yeah, hi. My question is, I'm up in the age also, and I have common stocks, and I'm wondering if would be a place for them to convert them in income-producing securities.
Hmm.
You have convertible stocks, you say?
Just common.
Common stocks.
Common stocks.
Right.
No, I think you're better off, rather than to think about income and growth, you're better off to think about a policy of total return. And that way you can derive an income stream by simply selling portions of your stock holdings. And you'd want to also have some bonds so that when stocks are down, you don't have to sell them in a down market. But, you know, separating in your mind income versus growth as opposed to total return policy is probably not going to work as well. So I would hold on to a stock portfolio that's appropriate for your needs, but then I would not necessarily want to buy convertible bonds or something dedicated to just income generation.
Mm, there we go. Thanks, Joe, for calling. Teresa in Duluth, Minnesota, your turn. Hi, Therese.
Hi there. Hey, the question I have is, given the idea that the nation has a crisis with the debt ceiling coming up, should you move money from stocks to some different place, or what's the best thing to do to try to not lose money for retirement if we actually have no lift in the debt ceiling?
Well, I don't know what the politicians are going to do. I'm not a politician. I have some economic training, and I'm an investment advisor. But I personally can't begin to describe the disgust that I feel for the policy as it's playing out now. But having said that, we don't know what's going to happen. And you could sell today, see this crisis resolved, and watch the market go up considerably, and that would we call an economist calls that an opportunity cost. It may go down, it may go up, but it's always a good idea not to manage your wealth by headlines. This too shall pass, and while there's an opportunity for a great deal of mischief, keep in mind that the economy is slowly, surely recovering all around the globe, and. It's just not a good idea to market time. Not invariably, but more often than not, you're going to regret it.
No. There you go, Therese. Thank you for calling. And Peggy in Green Bay, hello.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I've been divorced since I was 55. I'm now 60. And in the settlement, I received the house completely paid for. And I also received half of our IRA. The problem is I'm having some medical and dental problems, or not problems, but I need to finance them. And what I have to do is I'm taking out money of my IRA to pay the bills, which are substantial. Last year it was $30,000. And my problem now is cash flow. I've taken about $70,000 out of my IRA. And the problem is that I have to pay a 10% penalty, and then also 25% is taken out for taxes. My normal income is around $40,000, but when I do that, it also raises my income to another level where I have to pay the taxes. And also I'm taking out banking on my reserve line to pay bills which overrun my checking account. And then I have a problem with cash flow of paying back those bills. So I'm just wondering if you have any suggestions to kind of get my cash flow a little more lucrative.
Hmm.
Well, you may be one of those people who could benefit by the Obamacare and get affordable insurance in spite of your preconditions. pre-existing condition.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, you may want to check that out. You're right. It's a terrible thing to have to put that money in advance of being age 59 and a half. But you may also want to check with your accountant to see if you qualify for an exemption of that for medical emergencies. I believe there's an exemption in the withdrawal rates for those emergencies, subject to some deductible amount, et cetera.
So that's really, boy, that would be well worth looking into, for sure. So, Peggy,
because it'll save you the 10%. It'll save you the 10%. It won't save you having to pay income tax on it.
No, but at least it saved the 10%, which is a considerable amount of money.
Well, it's better, as my mother used to say, it's better than a sharp stick in the eye.
Yeah, absolutely. There we go. Thank you, Peggy, and good luck to you. I hope things improve for you. Brian in Appleton, it's your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi there. Yeah, I had a question, or I guess it ain't much of a question, a little bit. My kids are at that age where they've got kids of their own, and they're talking about buying a home, but money's a lot tighter than when I grew up and stuff, and I suggested they keep renting and put that extra money towards their retirement plan versus a home. Is that kind of a better idea, or...?
You know, we get a lot of enjoyment from homes. I don't think we ought to consider them to be a retirement plan into themselves. The idea that we can all get rich later selling our houses to our neighbors is kind of absurd to me. We've seen that house values go up and down. But there's over and above that, there's a lot of enjoyment in owning your own home that's maybe not quite an economic factor. It provides you some security, and it does build up some worth over time. That doesn't mean I want to speculate on the most expensive house I have and expect for that to pay my retirement needs later.
There we go, Brian. Thank you very much
It's certainly not insane to want to own your own home. I would never suggest that. But I wouldn't go way over my budget to buy something that I couldn't, you know, otherwise afford, with the idea that I'm going to have a real wealth accumulation later.
Thanks again, Brian, for calling. By the way, you can join in, too, if you have a question or comment for our guest today, Frank Armstrong. We're talking investing with him. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. We have a Facebook question from Zach, who says he's 31 years old and he's investing. And there are times, he says, with my Roth 401k, that the experts tell him that he's on track to receive so much money per year at his retirement. But then, you know, he asks another time or a little later, and they might say the amount is 20 grand different from what they said before. So he's wondering, how accurate are these kinds of projections typically?
They're not very accurate. They're based on an assumption of a still return over a period of time, and the underlying value goes up and down in the market. It gives you a feeling if you're on track, but certainly not accurate. There's no guarantee that you're going to get any particular amount down the road because somebody's computer program shows you that's the outcome. It all depends on what you actually get, not what the projection is.
Yep, absolutely.
But that doesn't mean that you give up investing. And it does mean that maybe you want to invest even more because if you get somewhat less than you expect in the return, you'll still be okay.
Mm-hmm. We had a caller.
I have very few people coming into my office telling me, Frank, I wish I hadn't saved as much.
Yeah.
Because I got too much money now. That's not happened in my entire 40-year career. So.
Oh, man. Well, you know, we had that caller earlier who had the health issues, and she had a home paid for, and she had dipped into her IRAs and so forth. And someone else called and said, wondered if she had also gotten a home, somewhat of like a home equity loan. Since she owns her house, it might be a much better an option, a good option. Interest rates would be a lot lower than the fines, and there wouldn't be the tax implications either.
That's a possibility. A reverse mortgage might be a possibility, but they all have to be considered very carefully with a financial planner, or you be your own financial planner and do homework very, very well, because any of that can come back to bite you later. Certainly, I wouldn't want to have a home equity loan with a variable interest rate, because
no.
If interest rates go to 12%, I mean, you're talking to a child that in the 70s, people would walk into cocktail parties and give these other high fives if they had a 16% interest rate on their mortgages, you know. So that can happen again, and if it does on a variable rate, a lot of people get trouble with variable rate mortgages.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's go to Tom in Sturtevant next. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I think I would like to disagree with what your guest as far as leaving your money all in your stocks and bonds and such. I think if it was just normal circumstances, it would be... You would expect that, but this is not normal circumstances. And the last time this happened, which was a few years ago, I mean, the market went down 20%. Right now, it's down over 500 points from the high, which was not that long ago. And I think it's, I pulled my money out and put it in a money market until this budget is settled, until this debt ceiling is settled,
yeah.
Because it's not normal circumstances, you know. And then I'm at an age where, you know, I
yeah, you need to, you worry about your money. Well, Frank, what about that?
Well, I think you should have an asset allocation plan that makes you comfortable, meets your needs, and stick to it, because I don't think market timing works the vast majority of the time. And I've been in this business for 40 years now, and I've never seen a normal day. There's always something to worry about. And that, while the market's down a couple percent from its all-time high, we're still up about 16% in global equity markets for the year to date, in spite of the well-known problems. I mean, there's always been something to worry about. But even after the crash of 2008-09, we're still at an all-time high. It took a little while to recover, but if you believe the world's markets are going to increase in value and the value of the world's businesses are going to increase in value, then the way to fight that trend is to buy stocks around the world and not try and second guess yourself on a minute-to-minute basis. But you have to accept a certain amount of volatility, and if you can't, then yeah, go to money markets. But it's not ever going to make you the kind of money that the stock market has historically made you.
Yeah. Frank, on that note, we got to close. I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I look forward to our next visit. Appreciate it very much.
Well, I it's always a joy. I'm sorry about the quality of the call. And to make matters worse, I got a guy drilling something outside the window here. So next time we'll do better. Next time we'll do better.
Thanks, Frank Armstrong, certified financial planner, president of Investor Solutions, Inc. Great to have him with us. He's a co-author of Save Your Retirement and author of The Informed Investor. Great to have him with us. Tomorrow at 11, it's time for Garden Talk. Judith will be filling in for me tomorrow, visiting with UW Extension horticulture educator Patty Nagai. They'll talk about planting garlic and bulbs and how to clean up the garden, including what to do, what to leave for winter interest. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.